Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Colleges and universities across Illinois and across the country have postponed or canceled in-person classes to stop the spread of the coronavirus. But even though they can't be on campus and their classes are virtual for the time being, student journalists are continuing to report for their papers, not just about how COVID-19 is affecting their colleges, but also their communities. I'm joined now by a few of those student journalists. Lizzie Siles is news editor for the Vedette at Illinois State University. Also joined by Aaron Morrison, who covers the arts for the Prospectus, Parkland College's paper in Champaign. Both of you, welcome to the 21st.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And from Northern Illinois University in DeKalb, I'm joined by editor-in-chief Sam Malone. Thank you for being here.
No problem.
And Lizzie, let's start with you. Illinois State University has suspended in-person classes, but it looks like the Vedette is continuing to report on stories in McLean County. You've reported on everything from the availability of testing for COVID-19 to the number of cases. Would you say your coverage is more broad now than just the ISU campus?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, every day we're covering that daily press conference from J.B. Pritzker, which initially wasn't, we try to focus on hyper-local things, not statewide issues, but this has become something that affects everybody, including our campus.
I also wonder if there's, is it a function of perhaps, I don't know, if things are just not as much as happening on campus. What is it like on campus, actually, at a time when I would imagine a lot of students are back at their permanent residences, whether that's with family or somewhere else?
It's definitely quieter, for sure, around here. But, I mean, students are still, they're still around just in their permanent residences, so they still have opinions and reactions. So we've been trying to focus on getting those just in a different way.
Yeah. And Sam, I want to ask you, would you say that the Northern Star has broadened its coverage as well, as we just heard about the Vedette?
Yeah, I think that similarly, we're trying to take the national issue and make it extremely local and relevant to the students on our campus and the people in our community. So even though the topic is national, I think that our coverage of it is still very much directed towards our audience, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And how do you actually go about your job? How do you, like, okay, let's say meeting. How do you meet as a newsroom, right? We're supposed to be socially distanced. How are you keeping in touch with the reporters there?
Yeah, so we actually, my managing editor, I'm very fortunate to have him. He's pretty tech savvy, and his name is Noah. He's helped us kind of navigate that, and so we're using like an online meeting app, and we just do a lot of communicating that way, as well as doing occasional videos. So most of my job now is really just based on, you know, constantly texting and communicating back and forth that way. We're making a lot of phone calls. And when we do need to have those group meetings, we'll try to do like a video chat of some sort.
And you mentioned Noah Thornburg, and I understand he's the managing editor, and he's joining us now mid-conversation. Noah, we were just talking about sort of the way papers are broadening their coverage, student papers are broadening their coverage beyond the campus to take this national story and make it local. Noah, can you talk about what sort of stories have you been following related to COVID-19 in the DeKalb area?
Yeah, well, it's good to be here, Brian. Thanks for having me on. And I got to say, the ones that we've been really interested in are the kind of local business responses, because DeKalb is already kind of a small community, and it thrives off this one main street. And there's a bunch of brewers and bars that have had to kind of shut down, and they've had to figure out a way to deliver or do curbside. And so we've been following these stories about how they've managed to adjust their business model to the changes. And that's, I think, one of the most interesting stories.
An essential story for college life is what's happening with the campus town, right, I guess?
yeah, absolutely.
Aaron, I want to bring you into this conversation. I understand you're an arts reporter for the Parkland College paper, The Prospectus. I imagine a lot of in-person arts events have been canceled, performances, art shows, even art classes. How are students feeling about that, Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, they've had to make a lot of adjustments, especially studio artists. We're just starting classes again this week, so they're just starting to get a feel for how the rest of the semester is going to be. It's definitely not ideal, but it's definitely possible. So,
what do you mean when you say a studio artist?
So like ceramics, drawing in person, they all have to collect their supplies and figure out how to work from home now.
Oh, yeah, right, because I guess it's not something where you can just kind of do a Zoom meeting if you need to get your kiln or whatever. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. And what about your arts coverage, Aaron? How have you adjusted that, given that there is not a lot of art events happening right now, at least not in person?
So I've mostly just been covering how people are adapting to this, like, lockdown we're having. The Boneyards Arts Fest, for example, they're switching to a virtual version while they can't do it in person. They're postponing indefinitely. And students, how they're figuring out again how to do it from home.
Mm-hmm. So Lizzie, I imagine that you, like a lot of us, you know, just even a few weeks ago, did not anticipate that the spring semester 2020 would be unfolding this way. What sort of information and stories do you hope to provide to students as the semester goes on?
Well, I mean, for now, it's all coronavirus, but we've also been focusing, the other guests have said, about how students are adapting and how, more importantly, also professors are adapting, because you have a lot of professors who have never taught online classes before. So in terms of informative stories, we're kind of hoping to get some things out there, like tips for online classes and things like that.
So we also heard from J.J. Kim. He's editor at the Daily Illini at the University of Illinois. He wasn't able to join us because he has virtual class now, but here's what he had to say.
Hi, my name is J.J. Kim, and I'm the editor-in-chief at the Daily Illini, and how we're continuing to report is through a myriad of ways. One is obviously depending a lot more on phone interviews, as many can imagine. But throughout all this, we realize it's tough, especially being inside and not being with friends, being college students, and it's tough on everybody. But we found that the silver lining throughout all this is that we really get to truly test and expand our reporting skills, especially as young journalists. But I hope everyone's staying healthy and safe throughout all this. Thank you so much for having me on, and have a great day.
So, Sam, we heard JJ mentioning there are more phone interviews. News organizations all over are imposing strict requirements on field reporting in order to keep their people safe. What sort of policies do you have for keeping yourself and your staff and your communities safe?
Yeah, so NIU's campus right now is still open, but a lot of things have been shut down, and a lot of the students are actually just not on campus, and that happened to be the case with a lot of our staff. So when this happened, we got the emails towards the end of our spring break, and Noah and I had a conversation where we sort of said, okay, where are we at? What can we do? And at that time, we wanted to have an in-person meeting with our editors and to kind of lay the groundwork. And we were going to ask people who were comfortable to still report to the office. Things developed very quickly over a matter of days. And Noah and I talked again, and we kind of made the call that, you know what, we should be responsible in this situation and encourage the social distancing. And so we kind of went all digital very quickly. So while, like, if a student wanted to still go to our office, the building is open. We're kind of encouraging people to stay within the confines of their homes and do as much reporting from home as they can. A lot of our reporters are spread throughout the state now at this point. Some are still in DeKalb, and we're just trying to make sure everybody's staying safe and following, you know, those guidelines and things like that.
And I gather that you all have been busier than ever, and Noah, trying to cover something like the coronavirus and stay on top of that story that's changing not just by the day but by the hour sometimes, that can be draining for all journalists. And I wonder, have you, Noah, experienced any of that fatigue?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when it's not my day off and I'm at home at my desk looking at what needs to be covered, a lot of it is waiting for emails or following, you know, worldometers and counting the cases rise and rise. And I mean, that is just so depressing to look at after a long time. So the days really drag on when you're waiting for another announcement from the county health department that another case or a death has been logged. I mean, it really wears on you after a time.
What keeps you going?
I think this is one of the most important events I may ever have the chance to cover in my lifetime. And I think right now I have something of a duty to document its effect in our little town.
And Sam, I wonder, how do you view your role as a student journalist amid this coronavirus crisis?
Yeah, so kind of to echo what Noah said, he and I actually talked about this, and just the role of being able to document it. And I think as student journalists, at least for me, I just feel an inherent duty to be doing something right now, and to be covering it, to be informing people, to be documenting what's going on for the people that don't know, and for the people that come after us. I think this is going to be a really interesting time in history to look back on and talk about. And people are going to come back to our site and be like, I wonder what the Northern Star was doing. And my job as the editor-in-chief, I think, is just to make sure that we're continuing to do those things and to provide that information for people. And Noah's in DeKalb. I'm not. And so he's been really great about staying on top of, you know, like the really local things and going out and getting some of that information. And I think that really the two of us have just been staying focused on making sure people are still covering the things that they need to cover, and getting them out so that the public can remain informed and so that eventually we do have a detailed history of what's going on.
And I wonder for all of you, really, what has covering a story like COVID-19 in your community taught you? Erin, let's start with you.
I guess it shows, like, through the arts that we're still really connected, and the arts are, like, a proof that life will still go on after this, even though it's kind of on pause right now.
Now, you do hear that message, right? This is something that will have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Lizzie, what about you? I wonder, what is covering a story like COVID-19 in your community taught you?
It's really taught me that college life is more than just classes and things like that. It's the community and the restaurants surrounding the area and the businesses surrounding the area. And when a huge event like this happens and impacts it, it completely changes things. And, you know, you realize how much everyone can be affected so quickly by something tragic like this.
And Lizzie, I want to ask that. I also asked some of the other panelists about, you know, their role, particularly as a student journalist. And I wonder, for you, from your perspective, what do you think as a student journalist you bring to coverage of coronavirus?
I think in a little bit of a way, a new perspective. I know a lot of the other journalists here have mentioned phone interviews, but being a younger person, it's being a journalist also, it kind of brings to this perspective the way younger people communicate. So we've been using social media a lot, and I feel like as a student journalist, just having that knowledge of social media and newer technology helps bring like a different perspective to this discussion of coronavirus.
Lizzie Siles is news editor for The Vedette at Illinois State University. We also heard from Erin Morrison, who covers the arts for The Prospectus, Parkland College's paper in Champaign. And from Northern Illinois University in DeKalb, we were joined by two staff members from the Northern Star, Editor-in-Chief Sam Malone and Managing Editor Noah Thornburg. Thank you all for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you for having us.
The coronavirus pandemic has created different financial challenges for people across our state and across the country. In Illinois alone, about 130,000 people filed for unemployment benefits in the last few weeks. Many more have been unable to file claims because of the overwhelming demand. On tomorrow's show, we're going to get advice from two financial experts. What questions do you have for them? Record them in a voice memo on your phone. Email it to talk@21stshow.org. That's 21stshow.org. And that is all the time we have for the 21st today. You can stay up to date with us on Twitter. Follow us at 21stshow. We tweet out links with more analysis and background about what we've been talking about. You can also find our past shows on our website. That is 21stshow.org. And you can also find us on Apple Podcasts and NPR One. Our show is produced by Libby Foster and Anna Casey. Eunice Alpison is our intern. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Special thank you to the band Public Access for our theme music. I'm Brian Mackey. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening.